Okay, Tov. Today's daf in Masechet Shavuot brought to you from Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh is daf Daled, and I'd like to remind you of what's going on. So remember that we brought four different cases of two things that are actually four, and we had a problem in how to make the Mishnah work out. Because yesterday we saw that it doesn't work out not according to Rabbi Shmuel, not according to Rabbi Akiva, because according to Rabbi Shmuel holds that you're only chayav karban on a shvuah la'atid, because it says in the pasuk, which is the pasuk that we find in Vayikra about the chayav of a karban olav yared. So it says beferish over there lahara olayetiv. That's referring to something in the future. So a person accepted on upon himself a shvuah to do something that was hurtful or not hurt, or to, but have to do something that was pleasurable. But in any event, it doesn't work, according to Rabbi Shmuel. And if you want to say it goes according to Rabbi Akiva, who does hold that you're chayev both ala atid and ala avar, but then helem shnayim shein arba doesn't work because Rabbi Akiva holds that you're only chayev on a helem tuma. But if what you forgot was that this is the Mokum HaMikdash, or you forgot that this is Basar Kedesh, then you are not chayev in the Korban Olam Yared. So one way or other, something is wrong with the Mishnah, because it seems to be combining two incompatible mandiyomrim. So we couldn't figure out an answer, because first we thought, okay, maybe it doesn't necessarily mean that they're all chayev, but no, we understood from Aris Nagoyim that they are chayev. So we try to work the Mishnah out. That's what we've done so far. That according to Rabbi Shmuel, the point is not that a Shnayim Shein Arba binogea a Korban Olav Yared, a Nochinami. There he doesn't hold that you would be Chayev on Lishava. But certainly he's made it that you're Chayev on Lishava Malkus. And the Mishnah was talking about Malkus. So that got us into a whole problem, because after all, it would be a lav she'en bo ma'isa, and with that brought us into a whole discussion of whether there's a way that Rebbe could have passed it this way, and he holds a lav she'en bo ma'isa, and why it isn't a stam mishnah, and so on. Won't review that with you, because the last thing that we did yesterday was we actually tried to figure out that Rebbe Yochanan, who was paskening, on the one hand, like as always paskens like a stam mishnah. And yet we know that the way we were learning, if we're going to talk about Malkus, our Mishnah would be saying that you're Chayev Malkus and Olav Shein Bo Ma'isa. And we know that Rabbi Yochanan doesn't paskin that way. That was the last thing that we had gotten into trouble with. Again, these are all tangential issues, which in the end, we're just going to throw them all out, because it turns out that the suggestion that the Mishnah is talking about Malkus, as we'll see in a few minutes, is an off-the-wall suggestion. And as we explained yesterday, Rashi tells us that the Gemara sometimes will go through off-the-wall suggestions specifically to teach you the necessary logic steps that you have to do with your brain, which normally you don't even have to think about twice. As a matter of fact, if you think about it twice, you usually get confused. But normally, you don't have to think about it at all. But the Gemara forces you to go through the steps of the logical steps one after the other, so that when things get more intricate and more complicated, you are able to actually keep track of those steps and not make the mistakes that you might make by jumping to conclusions. And jumping means literally jumping steps. You're obviously not jumping to conclusions by hopping up in the sky, but you've jumped a lot of steps, and it's jumping the steps that causes you to come to the wrong conclusion. Therefore, says Rashi, to teach you how not to jump, we sometimes will engage in what appears to be a lot of waste of time. So here, of course, meanwhile, it allows us to bring up so many different wonderful sugyas. So we've gone through in the Yonim of Hasra Safek, of Lava Nitiklase, of whether a Lav Shein Bo Ma'isa Leiken a Lav, Rein Leiken a Lav, and we got to the point in which we said yesterday, well, in order to make Rabbi Yochanan work out, what we ended up understanding was that Rabbi himself obviously wasn't being contradictory. He must have changed his mind. And this was his latest, later on in the Mishnah, where it's clear that Alav She'ein Bo Ma'isa, he holds that, in fact, Ein Loiken Alav. He left this Mishnah because of the klal, which was a Gavi klal that he doesn't have yet, which is that Mishnah lo zazo mimekayma, that in general, whenever we have a Mishnah, whenever we've been Koveya Mishnah, we don't change it to avoid a disastrous confusion among people who have committed all of this to memory. And that was the last thing that we learned, that the Mishnah lo zaza mimikayim. So now that brings us to B'mai Ukimta. This is one-third of the way Dav on Dav Dalet, Omid Alev, is today's Gemara, starting with the words B'mai Ukimta. So how have you left off in yesterday's Daf Yomi? Asked the Gemara. It's amazing that they knew that, huh? So how did you exactly leave off yesterday? So you wanted to say that the Mishnah is actually going according to Rabbi Yishmael, and it's talking about a chiyuv of Malkus. I don't understand. I mean, weren't we trying to figure out how all of the Shtayim Shein Arba could match, and that therefore Maris Negoyin, which was talking about Kula L'chiyuva, that's not Kula L'chiyuva of Malkus, it's Kula L'chiyuva of bringing the requisite korbanes, right? No, says the Gemara, actually, my Malkusika, is there a Malkus for Tzaras? Yes. The definition over here of defining the Marot Negaim is to tell me, because Seitz Barto, that somebody who cuts off a Nega Tzaraz from his skin and therefore figures, okay, that way I don't have to deal with it, such a person would be Chayav Malkus. And now we need to define, okay, what are the Maras that he would be Chayav for? So then we have the Shnayim Shein Arba. Now you'll say, where is there a lav of cutting off a Baheret or one of the Marot Negoyim? It says Hishamer Benega Hatzarat. That lotion of Hishamer Benega Hatzarat means to watch over it and make sure that nothing happens to it that is outside of the natural process. And since it said Hishamer, that's why you would be Chayiv Malkus. Grabovin Omer Rabbi Ilo, Diomer Rabbi Omer Rabbi Omer Rabbi Ilo, Kombokaim Shinemar Hishamer, or Pen, or Al, Eno Elolotas. So Hishamer B'nega Hatzarat is, in fact, a mitzvah's lotas and the Torah. It's a lav, an azhara. And, once again, we continue our exploration of the concept of azharas and how to derive chiyuvim from them. It teaches us that you would be chayiv malkus. Well, what about the next case? What about Yitziyot HaShabbat? Yitziyot HaShabbat can't be chayiv malkus, can it? Isn't it a lav shenitan la'azharat mitat beidin? You see how we're reviewing all of our fundamental points that we went through in the last parak malkus, because we're expanding them. So aren't Yitziyot HaShabbat a lav shenitan la'azharat mitat beidin? And we said that a lav shenitan la'azharat mitat beidin is kol lav shenitan la'azharat beidin emu kinolav. Ha ha, says the Gemara. That's exactly why I'm so smart. And I told you that the only way to learn the Mishnah consistently is to say that it's going alib the Rabbi Shmuel. Because it's Rabbi Shmuel who holds that alav shenitan la'azharat mitat beitin, you are looking alav. So everything works out just hunky-dory, and it's beautiful. Wait a minute. You're telling me that the reason that you only attempted to get the Mishnah to work out to Rabbi Shmuel is because he's the one who holds alav shenitan la'azharat mitat beitin? But if it wouldn't have been for that, you would have attempted to make the Mishnah work out according to Rabbi Akiva? How would the Mishnah work out according to Rabbi Akiva? Alav al-Hikamik Rabbi Akiva, I thought we said before, Mishnah can't work according to Rabbi Akiva, because we said according to Rabbi Akiva, how do you get Shnayim Shein Arba, since Rabbi Akiva only holds that you're Chayev on a Halama of Tuma and not on the Yediyah that has to be there, L'chatchila, and forgetting it, of Migdash or Kadesh, that is not something that's b'chayiv you, a carbon oil of a yared. So how could you say it would work out according to Rabbi Akiva? Well, what's the problem? We had the same problem with Rabbi Yishmael, and we said according to Rabbi Yishmael, it's only that he argues about whether you're chayiv Malkus on the Shavuos Bitoy L'Shaava, a carbon on the Shavuos Bitoy L'Shaava. But Malkus, you're certainly Chayiv. So we made the Mishnah work with Malkus, right? You could do the same thing with Rabbi Akiva Nami. It would be working out the same way for Malkus, according to Rabbi Akiva, because Rabbi Akiva is made that obviously if you went ahead and Dafka walked in to the Beis HaMikdash, then you would be Chayiv for Migdash, you would be chayev, or achilas, achilas basar kedesh, all of those things you would be chayev on. The only reason we can't make it work according to Rabbi Akiva is because then we would run into the question of how could Shabbos be included? Because Yitzias Shabbos can't be a chayev of Malka since it's a lav that's nitan lazaras Mrs. Bezdin. And Rabbi Akiva's opinion on lav shenitan lazaras Mrs. Bezdin is that ain't like an olav. Now you see how smart I was that I only made the Mishnah work out according to Rabbi Shmuel because I foresaw that we were going to run into exactly the problem that you just raised. Ha ha. Ha ha. What ha ha? If it would have been making sense according to Rabbi Akiva, so then why does it say Yidiot HaTumah? Yidiot HaTumah? What was Yidiot? Yidiot HaTumah, the concept of Yidiot HaTumah is only Nogea, Korban Olav Yored, right? So, I mean, obviously you're not stupid. You understood that Yidiot meant the person's awareness that he's doing an Isser, which equals the word Hatra'ah. So instead of talking about the Azara, which we've always been careful not to get confused about, the Azara is what it says in the Torah, and the Hatra'ah is what it is that the person was given in advance warning about what he's going to be done. So, I mean, why did the Mishnah talk about Yidiot HaTumah? You know the fact that it's Asur. That is called, my dear friend, Hatra'ah. So why doesn't it say Hatra'ot? Why does it say Yidiot? So it can't be referring to Malkus, Yidiot HaTra'ot Miboile. Well, I mean, it means, you know, the Yidiyah that comes of a Hatra'ah. So it's a Yidiot of Hatra'ot. That's the meaning of the Mishnah. Okay. Let's see. So how do you get Shtayim Shein Arba? I don't understand. You're either going to be Chayev because you walked up to the base of Mikdash, or you're going to be Chayev Malkus because you ate Basar Kedesh. Now, can you tell me what the Shtayim Shein Arba are? There is no Arba. And not only that, I mean, can you understand how off the wall this is? That doesn't work. How about Yeshba Yediya Betchila V'Yediya B'Sov? The hell I've been a time. What in the world are you talking about? I thought you said he did it on purpose. I thought you said he's Chayev Malkus. What do you mean? He knew about it. He forgot about it. What does that have to do with doing Haloma LaMalkus? My Avinate, how in the world is forgetting things part of a Chayev Malkus B'mezit? And, you know, I hate to mention it, but if you ever bothered reading the next line in the Mishnah, which obviously you never bothered, it says, Olaviyore. What the heck are you talking? Olaviyore. I thought you said it's a Malkus. What if an engagement in nonsense? All right, so let's throw out the entire daf. Now let's forget about everything that we learned and move on to the maybe a possible real teretz. Hello, I'm Rabbi Yosef. I'll tell you. The truth is that the Mishnah is contradictory. You're right. You cannot fit this Mishnah consistently with one Tana. But Rebbe didn't care about that because when he was organizing the Mishnah, as we saw yesterday, the amazing truth about this Mishnah is that its focus is honestly on the interrelationship of the Shnayim Shein Arba issue. And he felt it was more important to bring together the possibilities of Shnayim Shein Arba. It's true. One is true according only to Rabbi Akiva. One is true only according to Rabbi Shmuel. But who cares? I'm showing you the concept of Lavim that can be broken up into these different pieces. That's all. So when it came to, he was Nasiv La Aliba de Tanoi. He made a Mishnah, put it together as a, really doesn't fit together, but he put it together by putting together different svaras. When it came to Yediyas, in order to get Shnayim Shein Arba, he had to teach it according to Rabbi Shmuel. Because Rabbi Shmuel is the one who holds that you're chayev on halomas migdash or halomas kodesh, the same way that you're chayev on halomas tuma. And when it came to Rishvuas, how do you get Shnayim Shein Arba according to Rabbi Shmuel? You don't, because he holds that you're not chayev on a shvuah l'sha'avar, only what it says in the Torah of Le'atid, which is Le'atid, and that you don't have Ha'orah Le'atid. So Rishvuas, he decided, okay, so I'll take a case that works like Rabbi Akiva, who does hold that you would be chayev on Shvua Sha'avar, Achalti V'lo Achalti. That's the only thing we can say. Which, of course, if you put it together with the opening of the Masechet, first off, I should say, really, second off, puts the stress on the Shnayim Shein Arba much more powerfully, because it means it was the entire organizational principle of the Mishnah. Rav Ashi says, now I said over this point of Rav Yosef, I told it to Rav Kahana, and Rav Kahana said to me, no, no, it's right, but it's wrong. It's not that it's the entire organizational principle of the Mishnah, and that because of that, Rebbe was willing to forego his Shita. This is Rebbe Shita. He didn't plug different things together. It's not Nosiv La'aliva de Tanoi. It's that he himself held this way. The Amarli, Lo Tema, don't say what Rabbi Yosef says, that Nosiv La'aliva de Tanoi, meaning that he, Rebbe himself, didn't hold like this Kimura. I mean, which one is it? This is what he holds. Actually, it's his own svara, Rebbe Taimed and Afshe Mefarish. And Rebbe holds like Rebbe Yishmael, indeed, when it comes to the, that's why I put it together. So Yediya Satuma, he holds like Rebbe Yishmael. And when it comes to Shavuos, he holds like Rebbe Akiva. He didn't just put it together. It's exactly what he holds. I'll prove it to you. The Tanya. Take a look at this, right? Where in the world do we get the idea that in order to be chayav a korban ola v'yored, in the only case in the Torah that we find such a concept, that you had to once know something, then forget it, and then realize that you had forgotten it? That's not normally the way we define shogeg. Shogeg is somebody who didn't realize something. Didn't mean he once knew. Let's say you're Bechal Shabbos per shogeg because you didn't know it was Shabbos. It's not that you originally knew it was Shabbos. You didn't look at the clock and you didn't realize it was after Shkia, whatever, right? You're Bechal Shabbos. That's a regular shogeg Shabbos. What are you going to say? Well, you did look at the clock and I knew it was Shabbos. And then I went and I took a nap and I forgot it was Shabbos. And then... who ever heard of such a thing? So this is an absolutely unique circumstance. So where do I come up with this idea? So that I come up with because I look carefully at the pasuk. Take a look what it says. O nefesh asher tiga b'chol davar tamei and other tuma v'ne'elam mimenu v'hu tamei v'ashem. So he knew about it, he forgot about it, and he did a big no-no. Okay, we learn out from pasuk later on. We'll see what is the big no-no. It's the iser of knisa lemigdash, betuma, or achilas kodesh, betuma. Now, the pasuk continues. Oh, ki yiga betumat adam, and lists the various tumat adam, and it, and again it says, v'ne'elam mimenu, v'yada, v'yashem. So what do we need v'ne'elam twice? I already understand the concept of Ha'alama, which is a big Kiddush, that you need to know about it and then forget about it. So why does it say it twice? Therefore, Talmud Lomar, V'ne'elam v'ne'elam shnei pa'amim divrei Rebbe Akiva. Now what that means is that according to Rebbe Akiva, the first pasuk that says V'ne'elam does not necessarily mean that you once knew. V'ne'elam means you don't know. You were unaware. That's all that it means. So if you were unaware, and then it says, and you're unaware, again, it has to stress you're unaware if the source of the tumah was tumas adam. Why is that second one? So therefore, it says Rabbi Akiva like this. The first pasuk of V'ne'elam, that's to tell me that what he forgot and therefore was over was that he was tameh, because it stresses. V'ne'elam mimenu v'hu tameh. So what did he forget? This is the source of Rabbi Akiva Shita. It's coming to tell me Halomas Tuma, and only Tuma. Not that the Ne'elam Mimenu would have to do with Kodesh or Migdash. So why does it say the second Ne'elam? Because the second Ne'elam is there to tell me that the understanding of the word that Ne'elam is not that he never knew, but that actually he had to once know. So therefore, when it says over here, Fuhu Yada, now this is only said in the second part of the pasuk, Fuhu Yada V'yashem. Therefore, what it's coming to tell me is that you know when we said V'ne'elam before, You know what kind of Ne'alam I'm talking about? A Ne'alam v'hu yada. Not that he didn't know, that he forgot that he had known. That's the point. So according to Rabbi Akiva, I need both of these Ne'alam to teach me the simple halacha that there needed to be a yediyah b'tchila, and then a halama after the yediyah b'tchila. And since it says that the Ne'alam is what? On v'hu tamei, the yada, that's the only halama that you're chayav on. On forgetting that you were tamei, not on forgetting that this was the Makom HaMikdash, that's not the halama. That's the shogeg. You walked into the Beis HaMikdash, you ate a piece of Pasur Kodesh, but what was it that caused you to do that? It was the halama of the fact that you were tamei, not the fact that this was the Beis HaMikdash or that this was Tumah. Got it? This is Rabbi Akiva. Straight. Now we see where Rabbi Akiva derives the entire picture of how he understands that pasuk.
Do we still understand Vanellum Rebbe as unaware? Does it still mean that?
Now the new way is, because of the repetition, it doesn't mean unaware. It means
it changes.
That he forgot that he had been aware. Now here we see that Rebbe disagrees. How do we see? Because it says Beferish. Rebbe says, no. You don't need to darshan. Ne'alam means that he forgot about it. The word ne'alam means he forgot about it. Ne'alam means that I knew something and it flew out of my head. That's how the common usage of ne'alam is. We'll see later on that Rebbe brings rias to this. Right now we're just quoting the Braisa in passing. So according to Rebbe, the word ne'alam in the first ne'alam already told me that you had to have known, you see. So therefore, if I have two ne'alams, I now use one of them to say that there are two possible halamas. And look, I understand the word ne'alam means that he originally knew, as we'll prove later on. So when it says v'hu yada ne'alam again, what is it saying it? So now that means we have two different things that you knew and that you could have forgotten. And therefore, why do I have to say Ne'alam again to tell me that both halamas are chayav on? L'chayav either on Ha'alem Tuma or on Ha'alem Mikdash. Here clearly, Rabbi Akiva says, Rocho Bitra Kitana, he says, I hold like Rabbi Shmuel. So don't tell me that this was Rabbi who pieced together a Mishnah out of things that he doesn't believe. Hey, wait a minute. All you managed to prove to me is that in Yediyahs, he actually agrees with Rabbi Shmuel. And he's fundamentally against Rabbi Akiva Shita. You never proved the other part. You told me that in Shavuos, he definitely agrees with Rabbi Akiva. Well, I never saw that. Shavuos, the last time of the Nafshe. I mean, understand, where do we find that he has a Shita when it comes to Shavuos? Another way of saying this. Okay, well, it's the same. It basically means the same thing, as we'll see in a minute. Svara here, the different way of saying it is, Ashkechan b'yadiyas. You've proven to me only when it comes to yadiyas hatumah that he argues on Rabbi Akiva b'masot of Rabbi Shmuel. But where do we see that when it comes to Shavuos, that he holds a Rabbi Akiva? Would you come up with that? I'll tell you where I came up with it. Because it's a svara. Now, this svara, of course, is both Roshonis end up with the same word, svara. So I'm just go back to the flow in the Gemara. That interruption does not seem to be a meaningful interruption because both says the same thing. I'll tell you why. Because, now once again, we're using this whole discussion as an amazing opportunity to get to the bottom of fundamental issues and understanding the way that the Torah presents things, even though it doesn't stand in the end, okay? But it's so wonderful to be able to bring out with these possibilities, what it is that Rebbe is doing in darshaning the psukim when he paskins the Mishnah. So therefore, I say, it's quite clear to me, mitzad hasvara, that Rebbe holds like Rebbe Akiva when it comes to Shavuos. Why? Because he darshans psukim in the same way that Rebbe Akiva darshans psukim. Because look, what's the basis of Rabbi Akiva saying that you're also chayev in a shvuas bitoy l'sha'avar, despite the fact that all it says in the pasuk is laharao le'etiv? which any child will tell you means in the future, to do something hurtful, to do something pleasurable for himself. So where do you get it? I'll tell you. He actually learns it from a din of the how to learn in the Torah, Riboy, Miyute, and Riboy. That ends up being the mocker of the entire din of Rabbi Akiva. And remember that there's a tremendous difference between klal, prat, uklal, and riboy, miut, riboy. The difference is that if you darshan kol ha-Torah with klal, prat, uklal, then you understand that the structure of the Torah is based on the interrelationship between all of the elements of an iser and how it's presented to you. So therefore, if the Torah introduces something with a general statement, that general statement is subsequently defined by the examples of the statement that are given, which makes it a klal uprat. And if you stopped there at a klal uprat, then only the examples would be the explanation of the klal. But when you say another klal at the end, that's an indication that the relationship was a general principle that is now meant to be expanded into a general principle, but the nature of the set that the general principle refers to is similar to the example or examples that were given. And therefore, what will we be marba? Ke'en ha-prat. So it's marba anything that is like those examples. If you hold that you darshan the Torah with riboy, miyut, and riboy, we don't look at it as an interrelated definition of a set. The Torah doesn't define sets according to this. And you are left to your own devices, to being able to understand what is meant by a particular statement, which seems to be very general. If this statement is general, so then it is general. So then why does it give an example of that statement? It gives an example of that statement to make us understand that although it's general, you need to recognize that it's not going to apply in all cases. So if we just had a riboy and a miut, then we would end up with the equivalent of a klal prat uklal, mostly. If it ends up with an extra, what you thought was a klal at the end, which is an extra riboy, then it's coming to tell me, look here, the issue is a completely general statement. I only provided you an example for you to understand that there is a case where it will not apply. What is that case? The least likely case that you could possibly think about. That you have a right to exclude. More than that, you don't. So you're left to your own advices, which means that a riboy miyut riboy will be much more inclusive than a klal prat uklal, because you're essentially left with a general statement including everything but one type of thing, which is completely different from anything else that you would come up with. And we'll see examples of this in a moment. So therefore, when we learn in the pasuk, O nefesh, what's the pasuk of Shuas Bitur? O nefesh ki tishava levate bisvasahim. That's a very general statement. Sounds like a klal. That's the definition of a shvua. Then you say lahara laitiv. Huh? That's a prat. Either lahara in the future or laitiv in the future. And then you say another klal. Lechol asher yivate ha'adam b'shvua. Now that's a klal. So if you hold of riboy, miut, riboy, so then that would mean you include things that are not similar to the klal. You're right. If it's a klal, prat uklal, then since the Torah's two choices of examples are lahara leitim, both of those examples were referring to a future shvua about what's going to be, then that means I can only include in the lekol asher yivate adam, which makes this a general principle, all types of shvuas that have to do with the future, right? But things that have to do with the past are not included. But, says Rabbi Akiva, that's not the way that we darshan it. We actually darshan it by a riboy. And therefore, if it's a riboy, it includes all things, whether they're in the past or in the future. So why did you write Lara Laitiv? No, that was to exclude only one things. What was that one things? That one thing we'll see later on is if you were already committed to that thing, either because it's a mitzvah or because you had accepted on yourself for sure. Fine, we'll talk about that later. But essentially, the idea that even though the Torah gives us examples of what you thought was a set of things affecting the future, there ain't no such set. Torah doesn't talk in sets. And therefore, we include even the past. Now, since Rebbe holds of that principle of ribui miut ribui, he would therefore necessarily have to agree with Rebbe Akiva. That's what I was saying. So when it comes to the din of Shavuos, Rebbe holds like Rebbe Akiva. That's his own shita. And when it comes to the din of Halamais, as he said beferish, there he holds like Rebbe Shmuel, because of the fact that he figures that v'ne'elam means knowing and forgetting. And therefore he doesn't need two ne'elams to tell me what Rebbe Akiva does. And we know that Rebbe also is Doresh Ribu Yomiyute. How do we know that? D'tanya, Rebbe Omer, Bakol Podin Bechor Adam, you can do Pidyon Bechorot with anything at all, except for one thing. You cannot use a shtar. You can't give a coin a check. You have to give him something that is worth money and has intrinsic worth. Now, it doesn't have to be cash. It could be basically anything, as long as it's something that is movable and something that is worth money. So here we find Rebbe says you can use anything except for something that has no intrinsic value. Whereas the Rabbanan say you can use anything, but obviously not things that have no intrinsic value, but you can't even use real estate. And you can't use avadim. What's the basis of the machlokas? The machlokas is based on my time in the Rebbe. He learns ribuy miut. And therefore, when it says, piduyav mi ben chodesh, what does that mean? Whatever. Just be poet. Riba. Then the Torah says, be'erekecha. Kesef shkolim. You've got to use these chamesh shkolim. That's a miut. That's cash. You can only use cash. Then it says, "Tuyav ben chodesh be'erkav kesef chamesh shkolim tivde." That's cause of a riba. Now there's a riboy at the end, which means to use anything. So what's the klal? Says Rebbe, "Riba umiet the riba riba hakol." This is a general statement, except for one issue. So my riba kol mile, real estate, give the coin real estate. A eved that is similar to real estate, give the coin an eved. I guarantee you that Barnea will not turn down an eved. And why does it say, therefore, the one miut that has to be shkolim? Ah, that is the chamesha shkolim. That is one thing that it's remayit. My miut. Shtores. Why shtores? Because shtores have no intrinsic value at all. So therefore, real estate has intrinsic value. Avodim have intrinsic value. Cash has intrinsic value. Just don't write them a check, which is just a piece of paper. That's all. No intrinsic value in a check. Masha Engin, the Rabbanim, they say, no, the Torah is organized according to sets. And therefore, we have to derish klali uprate. So when it says, Biduyami ben chodesh, that is a klal. Now, that seems to open up. We are about to give you the rules of the contents of this set. Here are the members of the set. Uh-oh, so that's a prat. That means any additional members of the set would have to be Berkach HaMesh Shkolim. And the tifte creates the klal at the end that tells me klal pratu klal. You do have a set, but it has to be similar to this one member that you were given. Okay, the one member that you were given is cash. Cash, first of all, is a davar mitaltel. You can move it around. That excludes real estate. That excludes avodim, because they are like real estate, as we learn in so many places. And, of course, it has to be similar to cash, and that the whole point of cash is that it is cash. It's worth money. But when you, and it's intrinsically worth money, it's metallic. Masha Inkain, the check, which is a stand-in for cash, you cannot use. It's a worthless piece of paper. And therefore, its value is only the fact that it allows you to translate itself into cash. That's not included in shkolim. So just like the prat is mefuresh, first of all, it's movable. And secondly, it has its value is in it itself. It's intrinsic. Af kol davar mitatov gufo mamon, which excludes real estate, no matter how valuable they are. It's not similar to cash, so it's not mitaltel. Yotzu avadim, is avadim a compared to karka. Yotzu shtarot, a check can't be given, because even though it is movable, but it's not worth anything. So, there you go. Works out perfectly. Rebbe holds the same type of drushes of Rebbe Akiva, as I just proved, and that would mean that he would end up agreeing with Rebbe Akiva that when it talks about shvuas, even though the cases that are given are cases that would limit a set to the future, he doesn't have a Torah that is limited by sets. He has a Torah that talks about generalizations and specific exclusions. Amar Ravina la'Memar, huh? It's crazy. I know that all over, Rebbe does not darshan ribuy umiyute. Rebbe is the champion of set playing, and therefore, you've got something's totally wrong. Rebbe is darish ribuy umiyute. Why, Rebbe's the one who is darish all over the Torah, kolole uprate. Remember the classic case? What is the din of the Eved who says, Ahavti es Adoni, and so on, I don't want to be free? What does it say then? It says, V'lakachta tamartzea v'natata ba'ozno ba'delet. Okay, take the martzea. Okay, a martzea is a particular thing, like an ice pick and all, and that would mean that you can only use a martzea. How do I know? No, it doesn't have to be a martzea, says Rebbe Yehuda. This is not Rebbe Shita. How do I know you can include even a splinter from a board? Or you can use a sira, you can use a thorn growing on a bush, or you can use a needle, or you can use a drill, or you can use a stylus that is sharp enough to utilize for writing with in clay. Talmud Lomar. The lakachta is a general ribui. And kol davar shenilkach biyad, anything that you can hold in your hand, that is a martzea. So says Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda. But Rebbe says, no, a martzea is a martzea. It has to be something like a martzea. I mean, a martzea is a metal tool with a sharp point. Okay, I understand what that may be, a needle. A thorn? What does a thorn have in common with a martzea? A splinter from a piece of wood? No, absolutely not. And so on and so forth. A drill? Of course not. It's not similar to the martzea. Okay? So it would have to be something that is matechet, that is meant for piercing, that you can use. I'm excluding any of these wooden things. The Amrina. Now, over there, we explained that was the classic Rebbe. What's the basis of the machlokas between Rebbe and Rebbe Yosef Rebbe Yehuda? Rebbe hurls klolei uprate. So since Rebbe darshans the Torah as sets, the whole set is based around a single example of a metallic instrument. So how can you include wooden things? That makes no sense. Whereas Rebbe Yosef Rebbe Yehuda says there's no sets. There's just a klal, something you can take in your hand to pierce the ear.
There's just a ribuy, Rebbe means, right? A Rebbe means klal. He's ribuy amiyut. Rebbe Yehuda holds ribuy, not klal.
I didn't say klal. I said there are no sets. There are no sets, and therefore we don't darshan klal. And the way that we darshan the Torah is bidavka ribuy amiyute. So therefore, martzea, just because martzea is metal, only metal. No. You can only exclude one particular case, which is, Gemara ends up saying, that it's using acid. To use an acid to puncture an ear, that's not similar. It's totally unlike the act of piercing. But the instrument, as long as it's a piercing instrument, any instrument would be fine. Here it's Mamish Rebbe saying the opposite, that only we darshan the Torah with klal prater klal. You're telling me Rebbe holds like Rebbe Akiva? Well, yes, now cool off, hold on a minute. It's true that all over the Torah, Rebbe does darshan klal prado klal, but not here. I know not here. Why not here? I'll tell you why. Because normally he does darshan klal prado klal, but over here he doesn't darshan klal prado klal. Why? Because of an amazing yesod that appears in a brisa of Devei Reb Yishma. The Tana Devei Reb Yishma, we had this in Chulin, and it's an amazing limud. The Torah says, it's a little complicated, so pay close attention. The Torah says, etze tochlu, we just have this, right? This is Bamish the Sukkis, we're learning in Vayikra. So, etze tochlu mikol asher b'mayim. So what is considered to be a kosher fish? Or, for that matter, even if it would be an insect, doesn't have to be a fish. Anything in the water that has snapir v'kaskeset is considered to be kosher, right? But, listen, where is this truth said? Bamayim, bayamim, ubanechalim, otam tochel, right? Now, the word bamayim, listen to how it appears. Etzeto chlubi kol asher bamayim, the snapir v'kaskeset says, bamayim, bayamim ubanechalim. So if it would have said bamayim, and then it would have said that's the otam tochelu, then I would have understood. But it would have said like this: kol asher bamayim bayamim ubanechalim im snapir v'kaskeset bamayim otam tochelu. I would have had a klal prat uklal defining what type of water: mayim banechamim ubanechalim mayim. Right. So, okay, that would have told me any type of thing that would be, if you're telling me klal uprat, any type of natural water would have been included. So only, let's say, if I had a bottled water, and in that bottled water there had been eggs of something that then developed and grew in the bottle of water, and it was an insect of some kind, without, obviously, scales and fins, I would be allowed to drink that water with the insects. Why? Because it did not grow in a natural body of water, right? So I would have had a klal prado klal. But, says Rabbi Yishmael, you don't have a klal prado klal in this case. In this case, what you have, because if you had a klal prado klal, then what would I learn from here? Only natural bodies of water. Suppose I dug a cistern, and that cistern got filled up with water bugs and all kinds of things. Would I be allowed to drink from the cistern, or would I have to filter out all the bugs? You'd be allowed to drink from the cistern, because it's not the mayim, which is beyamim ubanechalim. And the Torah did not aser and insist that you need snapir v'kaskeset in a cistern. It said it only about a lake, or a stream, or an ocean. But if you dig a cistern and it's full of all types of insects or whatever thing, you could just drink it. You don't have to worry about swallowing insects. Now, says Rabbi Yishmael, but we don't have a klal prado klal. Why? Because we have two klals followed by a prat. And klal, klal, uprat is not the same as klal, prat, uklal. And the Torah is bedavka putting it this way to teach you that even though normally I would be telling you to darshan the set, if I wanted to tell you a set, I would have constructed it as a set, which is klal, that's what you put on the top of the rule, and then you put in the members of the set, and then you repeat the klal to indicate that the set is meant to be expanded. Why did you write it in this funny way? To teach me, I'm only interested in the ribuyim here. I say the klal twice to tell you that this is a ribuy. And therefore, when I add a prat later, it's not a prat. It's a miut. And therefore, there is no klal prat klal over here. And I learn it to things that are even inside of a cistern that you dug, right? So you can... And therefore, if that would be the din, there would be a completely different approach to what you'd be allowed to drink. How much do we insist that you need the normal fins and scales? That would be the machlokas. Now, Rebbe agrees that this is true. And if it's true, then in this case, we have exactly the same situation. Because basically, what the only reason that Rebbe insisted that we're going to be darshaning over here, the ribui, miut ribui, which is what I brought you, Araya, from the whole story of the Bechor, is because the method over there was based on ribui, miut ribui, because we had a klal, klal, uprat, and we didn't have a klal, prat, uklal. And that was why, according to him, I'm going to darshan the idea of the Bechor, ufiduyav, miben chodesh tifteh, that's two klals, piduyav, whatever it is, tifteh, whatever it is, and then it's perkech chamesh shkolim, klal, klal, uprat. That's why I insist to darish it as ribui, miut, ribui. So I was wrong to say that Rebbe darshan's all over ribui, miut, ribui. You're right. And if that's the point, then we're going to have to say that indeed here Rebbe was not saying his own shita, because his own shita is klal prat uklal, and he would disagree with Rebbe Akiva when it came to the idea of shvuas, that we would apply shvuas even the sha'avar, because he does not hold of ribui miut ribui, and that means we're taking it all back, and that in fact, when it came to the din of shvuas, yes, that was Rebbe's own shita, where he argued with Rebbe Akiva and paskal like Rebbe Shmuel. But what you were claiming, Rebbe Yosef, that this is Rebbe's own shita, it's, we don't have any reason to say this is Rebbe's own shita. And in that, he put together, and he actually made the mission according to Tanoi. You have to say that, because he was looking for all of the various cases, according to anybody, even if it would be Rebbe Akiva that he doesn't hold up, where we have Shnayim Shein Arba. Now, why did the Rabbanon, how did they not hold that this is a klal, klal uprat? Where do they see that they should argue on Piduyav, Tifta, Shkolim, that I should darshan that as a klal, prat, or klal? Or Meravina, because the Shita in Eretz Yisrael is that kol makom shata motzeh, shtei klalot asmuchot zeh lazeh, wherever you have a klal, klal followed by a prat, pick the prat up, stick it between the two klals, and make it a klal, prat, uklal. So hatel prat b'nehem, actually read the pasuk as if the kesef shkalim came between ufiduyav and tivdeh, and therefore you will end up with a normal klal, prat, uklal, and that would mean that we have no choice but to accept the fact that Hashtadamit Rebbe normally darshan's klal uprat, and therefore by shvuas would darshan klal uprat, you've got no choice but to accept, you have to bite the bullet, and that is, bal korchecha, you're not going to be able to work out the Mishnah here about shvuas, shnayim shein arba, aliba de Rebbe, it would have to be aliba de Rebbe Akiva. So fine. In that case, the part about shvuas is indeed cobbled together. And b'shvuas nosiv aliba de Rebbe Akiva, even though Leila severely personally, he disagrees. Woo! Okay, so we've done another courageous experiment in manipulating our Mishnah in every possible way, only to end up that it is indeed in the end nosiv aliba de Tamoi, at least partially.